Good to be with y'all. Yesterday I was thinking, I'm wearing blue today. I was thinking, there's no way Terry's going to wear blue. And so I walk into the bathroom and I said, wait, I'm wearing blue today. You can't wear blue. And she looks at me and she goes, you have something else to wear? And I said, no, I have nothing else to wear. I chose this for today. She goes, well, you'll get over it because I'm wearing blue.
So we're both pretty stubborn.
Let me just open our time right quick. Well, Lord, we thank you. You're an awesome God. We thank you, Father, for our time with you here. Thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for our children, and they're a gift, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy that they give us. We thank you for the challenges that we have for them. But it is a lifelong journey of being a parent. Even though the parenting stops, we never stop being a parent. So we thank you for the journey, and we thank you for the children that you've given us. So, Lord Jesus, we pray in your sweet name. Amen. All right, so we were going to speak on child training this morning. And so these are the phases that we're going to be going through with you. So, yes.
All right, so we wanted to, we know most of you here and y'all know us, but there are some people who don't. So we wanted to explain our family a little bit. We have four children, 33, 32, 21, and 19. We are a blended family. Gary and I were both divorced before we got married, and Gary had two children when we got married, and they were ages 10 and 8. And they lived with us full-time for a little bit, and then we kind of settled into a kind of a standard divorced arrangement where we had them every other weekend and some in between, but we were always at all of their things, so we were around them a lot. So this came about that we were sitting in a meeting about vacation week, and we were talking about topics for marriage and family, possible topics, and Gary brings up this training that he thought was really good, and that parenting was something that, you know, is a good thing to include in marriage and family. It'd been a while since anybody talked about it. So everybody thought that was a good idea, and it got slotted as one of the topics. So about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after that, he and I are sitting in our study, and he goes, you know, I've been praying about it, and I think that we ought to, you know, offer to be the ones to do the parenting. And I went, oh, I said, really? You know, parenting is such an emotionally charged topic. Everybody's got their own opinions and ideas, and I don't know, but we're here. So he obviously talked me into it. And along those lines, we've certainly had our share of struggles and heartaches and challenges with parenting and joy, much joy. But what I want to say is that we are just humble sharers of this information. We are still in the journey and working it out.
So as I mentioned last night, a gentleman by the name of Bob Hostetler with a focus on the family had written this article. I came across it, shared it with Terry. It was very energizing to me because, as I mentioned last night, it gave us, to me, a much clearer path than just having some ideas about what we might want to do. And some of you may already, you know, be pretty intentional and well planned out about what you want to do with child training. We were not. So we began to put this in practice. And as you can see, you've got, you know, these four stages. The first phase is ages 1 to 5, the discipline phase. The second one, 6 to 12, the coaching phase. Phase 3, 13 to 18, the counselor phase, Lord have mercy, and then the 18 plus, the adult friendship stage. So we're just going to share the framework with you this morning, you know, mainly because we've got a little limited time, so it's going to be kind of a 30,000 foot view on it, but we hope that it will maybe generate some thoughts, maybe some new ideas in whatever phase that you might be in with your children.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
All right, so this one, of course, we have Keep God Involved, and we're mostly here through prayer and scripture. And it might seem like, duh, of course we want to keep God involved in our parenting. But my experience has been that even though we really want to, and even though we know it's best, it's very easy to leave him out and forge ahead, react in the moment, not think ahead of what phase you might be getting close to. So it's very challenging to keep him involved at times. So we wanted to suggest that, you know, you consider a consistent time together, to come together, whether it's once a week, once a month, to pray intentionally for your children, and to pray together about how you want to parent them and what phase you're in and what might be going on and what struggles you're having, but to pray and lift it up to the Lord. In terms of praying for your children about everything, I just wanted to show this book. You may have it. It's called The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy Omardian. And somebody gave it to me when Kyle was born, and he's 21. So I've been using this book for 21 years, and it's arranged in 30 chapters with 30 different topics and a prayer for the topic. There's a real short personal story from her, and then a prayer and some supporting scripture. And the way I used it was to whatever date of the month it was that I opened it up, if it was the 12th, I would turn to the 12th chapter and read that prayer for that day. So over the years, I've probably prayed these hundreds of times. And what's really neat about this book is that I'm pretty sure you'll find a topic or two or more that you may have not even thought of to pray for your children. It's a very good book. I encourage you to get it to help you be intentional to pray for your children.
So we have our oldest, Kyle, when he was, in terms of keeping God involved, he sucked his fingers when he was little. And so he's getting ready to go off to kindergarten, and we thought, we've got to get this thing stopped. And we've tried a lot of things, which those of you who've either had children that have sucked their thumbs or whatever, we're trying hot sauce, we're trying lemon juice, we're trying stuff you buy at the store, we're trying, you know, timeouts, we're trying taking toys away, and nothing's working. So I'm praying about this one day, and the idea came that to take a plastic ruler and just swat his hand, okay? And I'm thinking, golly, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I go to Terry and I said, this is what I feel led we need to do. So Kyle gets up on this one Saturday morning and I say, son, this is what we're going to do because we've got to get this stopped. So every time you suck your fingers, Daddy's going to take your hand out and he's going to pop your hand. So we start out and we're about halfway through the day. I'm sitting on the couch. He sucks his thumb and I said, God, I said, is this the path we got to stay on? Because this is hard. And Terry's walking through and she's crying, you know, because she's having a difficult time with this. And he said, just stay the course. He's crying. I take his hand. I swat it. So we get through the day, and by the end of the night, he's not sucking his fingers anymore. And I said, well, let's wait and see what tomorrow holds, you know. So we get up the next day, and he never sucked his fingers again. I mean, it was the most amazing thing. So the encouragement is even when God calls you to some hard things with your children, stick with it, you know, because he's at work in the background. I wish there were the other discipline things that we tried that worked that well with him, but it just, we didn't make that. So our goal kind of this morning with you guys to encourage you as you, whatever phase you're in, is to talk about this stuff. We want you to have open dialogue. There's a great verse that's mentioned up there, Amos 3:3. Unless two be in agreement, how can they walk together? It's important that as you come together on these phases, that you be in agreement with what you're going to do. And then you've got to be praying about everything. And I know John Ridgway is going to be talking about prayer one time, but this is very important as you come together and just to be consistent.
All right. So I mentioned last night that I agree with Gary about everything. I totally support him 100%, all the time, every time, and that was a bit of a wannabe statement. For him and me. So I wanted to talk about decision making in our home, what it's evolved to over, we've been married 23 years. And so finally, after struggling through this, because I will say parenting is probably the thing in our marriage that has been the hardest for us to be in agreement on and to work through and stick together with. So I finally got to the place where we'll talk about everything. Gary doesn't lay a hammer down or anything like that. We talk about it. But if we don't agree, I've got to the place where I would say, you know where I stand. And sometimes I might add that little sniff that you might remember from 2 years ago.
You remember what that sniff means, right? That she's right and I'm wrong. She's dead right.
But what I did get to was that I didn't tell him I told you so. If his decision did not work out well, didn't have the desired result, I didn't tell him that I told you so. I can't say never, but I think it was rare, and now I don't do it. I didn't make him try to feel bad about the way things worked out, because I knew in my heart that his heart was in the right place for what's best for our child, what's best for our family, you know, what's best for us. So I trust him in that.
So I think as we go through this, that one of the things we would want you to kind of take away is just, you know, be consistent as possible. You're not going to be perfect, and don't hammer yourselves over not being perfect. Just be consistent as possible as you go through these phases. One of the things that I've kind of come to learn in regards in prayer and praying for the children, and you're praying for a long time for things and you don't see God moving, and sometimes I would find myself frustrated with God because he doesn't seem to be hearing me or moving, but what he's just saying, not yet. And what I came to realize, I read something that said, if I'm focused on what God can do for me, it's probably going to create sometimes some frustration or maybe disappointment. Focus on who he is, not what he can do, but who he is in the intimacy that you have with him and that he's giving you the opportunity to have with you, because he desires it as much as possible. So just focusing on who he is. So the things that we feel like are critical in this is that you plan each phase, you work to be in agreement, in what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish, how you're going to do it, what the discipline's going to look like if they choose not to obey. And this verse, Proverbs 16:3, it may be hard for you guys to see that, says to roll your works upon the Lord, wholly trust and commit them to him, so that your thoughts will become agreeable to his will. So then shall your plan succeed and be established. The most critical part of this, I think, so that your thoughts will become agreeable to his will as you plan, because that's what we're really after. We want him working in the midst of this and giving him the time and freedom to do it, but we want to be as often as we can in alignment with his will. And then hold your plan loosely. Give God time, the freedom to work and the time to work in the midst of this stuff. One of the things, too, if you make a mistake, tell your kids you made a mistake. It's okay. Show them vulnerability. You know, we are going to make mistakes, and they need to know it. And then the other would be to, I highly encourage you to find a couple or another man or another woman that can come alongside you as you go through this journey, because I'm just telling you, there's going to be things you're going to run into, and you don't have the experience and wisdom to deal with it, and you need help along the way, so be willing to do that. And so one of the observations that I've seen in this movement, God did it with me, brought a couple into my life back when I was in my mid-20s. He became my spiritual father, and he's been with me and his wife through this entire time. And what has been most amazing for Terry and I, the things that we have experienced has almost mirrored their life. So only God can do that, can bring people into your life that you need in the moment and the need that you have. And I've seen it throughout the movement. God just places people together. It's just perfect how he matches the need.
So we wanted to say, if you feel like you have a need or you're ready to have a couple in your life to maybe help you along, or if you're single and you would like to have another guy to meet with or another lady to meet with, we know most of the people here this week, and this is a great pool of people to draw from. And if you'd like that, you know, we encourage you to seek us out, and we'll work to see if there's somebody that might be a good fit to meet up with you.
All right. Phase one, ages 1 to 5. This is the discipline phase, and what I mean by that is this is where you're beginning to train your child to respond to your voice. And this is really important. And then, you know, as you're disciplining, you know, you have to decide, as we said, what you're going to discipline for, what form of discipline you will use depending on the behavior. But don't always get caught up on the negative side, because discipline can be negative. Focus on the positive side and give them positive reinforcement when they're doing well also. And I think for me, we didn't have this, you know, with the boys in this phase, but I would say training them to obey and respond to your voice. And you get to decide, because what you're doing is you are establishing a pattern of communication with your children. So are you going to train them to respond the first time, the second, the third, the fourth? Are you going to beg and plead? I mean, I've observed this, and we've struggled with some of this as well, and it is hard, but this is the time when you establish the discipline in your home. And so getting them to respond to your voice is very, very important. And, I mean, you're going to be dealing with, as many of you have been through this phase or you are going to, or in it, you know, you're going to be start dealing, as sweet as they are, you're going to start dealing with lying and disobedience and temper tantrums and maybe hitting and biting. And, you know, they're trying to figure this stuff out too, because they're entering into their first phase of independence.
So there's a phrase on the slide that says yes because or no because. And this is a phrase that you might consider incorporating often during this phase of their life. And you're definitely dictating what they're allowed to do. We're in this phase, we're kind of benevolent dictators. We tell them when they need to go to bed, what they can eat, who they can play with, where they can go. You just dictate all of their choices. But it's good to take the time and the pains to explain why something is allowed or not allowed. So this is a phrase that might be helpful to be used often in this phrase. It might be something like, you know, yes, because you really showed extra kindness to your brother, or no, because it's not safe for you to run into the street. Simple explanations. And we encourage you, as you probably already are, but to get down on their eye level when you talk to them and explain things to them. You know, hold their hands, touch their shoulders, you know, touch them and look them in the eyes when you're doing this explaining.
And also, it's again to begin to talk to them about character, you know, good character and bad character, and what's that look like? You're being kind, you're being thoughtful, you're being considerate, you're being loving, or that was hateful, or that was mean. We're beginning to help them begin to understand character. Phase two, ages 6 to 12, this is the coaching phase. This is where, I mean, you still have discipline going, but you're also moving into self-discipline and responsibility. This is when you begin to give them the chores, the homework, begin to introduce money. They get into team sports. And one of the things that we used to say to our boys, that you can suffer the pain of regret or you can suffer the pain of discipline. Okay, and you have to explain to them what that means. But when they, you know, when they've misbehaved, you can tell them you have now suffered the pain of regret because you did not do what we asked. Or if they have done well, they've done their homework, they are beginning to understand, you know, they may not like it, but they're beginning to understand the pain of discipline. You're also going to be teaching respect of authority figures, parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches. And this is the phase where they first start to go out of your home. Okay, they are going to school, they're going to other homes, they are going to begin to see what the world looks like outside of their home. They're going to be involved in team sports or social stuff like Brownies or Cub Scouts. So that's going to be a new experience for them, and you are coaching them through this as they move through. And then you're also beginning to, one of the things we didn't mention about, or maybe you did, about benevolent dictators?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. Anyway, so now you're beginning to clarify rather than dictating their choices. Would you rather do this or that?
So this phrase, would you rather do this or that, this is something that you might consider incorporating often when your children are in this phase. And, you know, this type of response begins to give them the experience in making their own decisions and dealing with the consequences, but you're still really helping them understand the consequences. So, you know, for example, you might say, are you sure you want to spend $15 of your money on this Transformer toy that you've just seen, you know, as walking down the aisle in the toy store? Or do you want to keep saving your money for the remote control car that costs $50 that you've been working at, that you've been talking about for months? Because if you spend your $15 on this, then this doesn't get to happen over here for some time. So you're still really helping them think through the consequences, but allowing them, especially as they, you know, progress through this phase, to make more and more of those decisions.
So spiritual training starts in this phase. And for us,
it starts in all phases.
Huh? Phase one. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, it starts in phase one. So for us, we were going to church. We had a great Sunday school group we were involved in, and our boys are in the nursery, and then, you know, toddler and pre-K and elementary, and then they get into junior high. And in addition, you know, to this, we used a little book called Little Visits with God. Fabulous little book for children. And we get into junior high, and we're starting to get a lot of pushback. And what I said to Terry is, I said, I don't want this to turn into a negative experience for them. I do not want to jam this down their throat, because I do not want them to associate Jesus with this, okay? So we need to back up, and we need to figure out something else. What do we want to do here? So I said, we're just going to go to home church, and we'll do a little verse in, you know, on Sunday mornings. And man, with the boys, you would have thought, I think they would have preferred a poke in the eye with a sharp stick as opposed to sitting there listening to Dad with all this great teaching, you know? So I said, this is not working either. So we found a book. We believe it's called
Hidden Treasure Chest.
Hidden Treasure Chest, or God's Hidden Treasures, and it was activity-based. I thought, this is perfect, because boys need activity. They learn during activities. So we started using this, and it was still slow going, and one morning we had one of their friends over on sleepover, and I said, I'm just going forward with this, even with this boy here. So we did it. He was very proactive in sharing, and they joined in. I thought, this is fabulous, so we're going to open this up to their friends. So for about a year and a half or two, we just had a little boys' youth group come in our home, and we would use this book to do the activities and teach spiritual principles. So you've got to be flexible. Don't get rigid in your training, spiritual training with your children. You know, figure out what's working. If something's not working, you got to go to Plan B, but keep moving forward with them in that. Okay. Phase three. Lord have mercy, it was and has been, ages 13 to 18. One thing I think in this phase, this is probably one of the more challenging things, is your children are in the beginning stages of breaking away from you. And this is hard. It's great for them. It's hard. It was hard for us. I don't know for you guys, but it was hard for us to begin to let go. You're training them to move from dependence to independence. You know, this is the phase where they begin to understand what is right, what is just, what is fair. You also, as parents, you need to talk to each other about, if you get touched by sex, drugs, alcohol, pornography, clothing, music, you have got to talk about this and how you think you want to handle this, because I'm not saying everybody's going to get touched by it, but if it does, if you don't, you're going to get blindsided, you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction. It's very emotional topics. We're talking about adult stuff here that your children are moving into, so it is very important that you talk about this. And the other thing I would say, too, with your children, sit down and talk to them about this stuff. Help them understand what boundaries looks like. What do convictions look like? I didn't have very many boundaries growing up, quite honestly. I was just kind of going to go as far as I thought I might could go with this stuff. they need to begin to think about, you could say, well, what do you think about sex? Well, I don't know what I think about sex. Well, give them a situation. What if this comes up? What are you going to do here? They've got to think about this stuff. And I, with my boys, I spent some time in a book called Every Man's Battle, which is focused on our battle, which is sex. And you would read a chapter, it's a little story, and it gives the dad an opportunity to talk about, well, this is what my values and beliefs look like back then. This is how I was handling this stuff. And sometimes you might think, well, man, I'm going to open up Pandora's box and they're just going to be off doing what I was doing. Well, that's not necessarily true, but you're talking. They begin to see a little bit of humanness to you because, yes, you were 14, 15, 16, 17 at one point in your life. And so they get to hear how you handled those situations, but you can also tell them how Christ has changed you and how you don't view things and your values and beliefs have changed.
So this is when I finally started to realize that my children were actually separate people from me. And this may sound a little confusing to the dads out there, but I bet the moms know exactly what I'm talking about. And one time, I wanted to share one story. I was sitting out to dinner with three lady friends, and Kyle and Cameron were in junior high, so maybe 12 and 14, 11 and 13, something like that. One of the ladies had an older son in high school, and somehow the topic got to, you know, becoming sexually intimate, for, you know, your kids becoming sexually intimate. And my mind, I mean, even though my sons were a little older, I mean, they were 12 and 14, my mind could hardly go there, could hardly, you know, wrap around that. And I just said, oh, I'd be heartbroken if that happened. But the thing is, you do have to realize that they are separate people. And even though these topics are hard, and it, your mind, if you've got a sweet three-year-old, you can't go there, I get that. But at some point, when they're 10, 11, 12, you know, you need to be thinking about this, you know, this next phase, and talk with your spouse about it. And when the age and the time is right, talk with your children about it.
So we would explain to the boys, if you follow the rules, you get a lot of privileges. If you don't, you're going to suffer a lot of loss. And we had one that suffered much loss, and we had one that got a lot of privileges. And as they suffer loss, you also are dealing with some trust issues as well. As they make certain decisions in this. And for Terry and I wish it had been different, but we dealt with some fear in this stuff and letting go. You don't know what it's going to look like. And if you get gripped by fear, then you're controlling and you're overprotecting, and you got this child that is trying to pull away from you, and that doesn't go well. So, you know, we realized that we were not trusting God in the midst of this. And in terms of values and beliefs, we were in a Sunday school thing one time, and we're going through a thing on raising teenagers, and somebody made the statement, it's possible your children may not adopt your values and beliefs. And I just thought, well, I don't believe that one bit, you know. I thought we have a pretty solid, you know, belief system and values. They're not going to join us in this. So it hit me one day, the reality, I'm talking to one of my sons, we're talking about a highly controversial social topic, and I put my views and values out there, and I said, where do you stand? Well, he was 180 degrees from me, and I was just, I literally just stunned. I could not believe what I was hearing. So I go grab the Bible, I bring it out, I said, look, this is what God has to say about this. I want you to read this to me. So he read it, and I said, what do you think about that? He said, I said, Dad, I hear what you're saying, I hear what God's saying, but I'm not there. I'm not lined up with that. So that was shocking to me, you know. But what I'm beginning to realize, and I look back in my own life, my values and beliefs didn't align 100% with my parents, and my, you know, our children are not going to align with us 100%. So just don't get caught off guard when their values and beliefs are not aligning with yours. Mm-hmm. So we included, as I was talking about, just this verse on fear not, because this was, you know, one of the more challenging phases for us. You know, you've got the hardest consequences. You're dealing with certain decisions that they make can be absolutely life-changing. And you're dealing with, as they begin to become adults, they're making these adult decisions. They don't have experience and they don't have the wisdom, but they're moving out anyway. And so you've got to be there to try to counsel them through those. Also, there was a verse in the first phase out of 1 Thessalonians, and it talks about, you know, being nurturing and caring. And our children from ages 1 to 12, they need that. They need the nurturing. They need the caring. But when you move to this third phase, that needs to begin to back off. And you need to move into this 1 Thessalonians 11, 12, where, you know, it's more of a fathering. I'm not saying that the dads are, you know, that the mother's pushed aside because she is still there. But when it comes to the boys, the dad really needs to be the one dealing with them. And when it comes to the girls, you got to have your wife there, because we don't understand this female behavior, okay? And we got to have help to navigate. But it's our job to protect them as they go through this phase, okay? So they need that. They need the protection. They need a hero in their life, because boys are dogs, okay? They can be dogs, and we are trying to keep our daughters from encountering some of those.
Do you want to talk about that?
And then this last verse here, Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope, the power of the Holy Spirit. We were in the midst of a very challenging time with one of our sons, and I'm just in my daily reading, and I come across this verse, and I said, this is awesome. I get Terry, and I bring her in. I said, you got to read this verse. So we're reading it, and we're crying, and I think the reason we were so overwhelmed by God, because this is what we needed at this moment. I mean, this is just the way God works. The encouragement that we got from this, just the hope to be filled with His joy, with His peace, and to be just overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we talked early on, keep God involved. He's right there in the midst of all of this stuff. He's working behind the scenes. You can't see most of the time what He's doing, but I promise you, He's there working.
So we definitely dealt with rebellion in this phase. If that's you, we encourage you to keep trying, keep praying, don't give up. Remember that your child, your son or daughter, is not your enemy. Satan is your enemy. And I wanted to read something out of The Power of a Praying Parent, because it speaks to it very well. Remember, your battle is not with your son or daughter, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Your battle is with the enemy. The good news is that Jesus has given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Don't be afraid to take advantage of that. Rebellion will surface in your child at one time or another. Be ready to meet the challenge with prayer and the Word of God, along with correction, discipline, and teaching. Don't be intimidated by a rebellious spirit. Jesus is Lord above that too.
Then this is where we are. We're in the phase four with all four of our children, the adult friendship, where you don't have a lot of proactive involvement with them. You're more of a patient availability. You know, it definitely, you've got to have let go by this phase, and then you're just adult friends with them, working on becoming adult friends with them.
So I'm still wading through this phase, and I know that my husband said, you've got to be let go by this phase. Well, I'm still struggling with that. Some of the things that I struggled with in phase one, doing stuff myself, because instead of having them do it, just because it was easier and faster, I'm still doing now. So, for example, buying, renting college textbooks. I do that. I get on the computer, I do all the research, I price compare, I send emails to the professor asking, are you going to be using the access code, blah, blah, blah. And I know that I should be letting them do it, but college is so expensive. I want to make sure that I'm finding the best cost for all this stuff. So even with that, you know, and Cameron's in and out, and I can't catch him, so I still just do it myself. But that's not teaching him about being a good steward of money. It's not teaching him about researching things. It's not teaching him about being more involved in his own higher education. So I got a ways to go.
So with our two older children, who are 34 and 32, we are absolutely in the friendship stage with them. And it's really fabulous, you know, to be there with them. Our two younger boys, we're beginning into the adult stage with them and moving towards friendship. We're not quite there with them. I think they really want it, and it's kind of a big deal to them. You know, they'll say, dude, I'm getting to be friends with Dad, or you know. And, no, man, I'm not being friends with Dad yet. And so it's a big deal for them. So I think it's awesome as you begin to move into this fourth phase with them.
Oh.
Go ahead.
And so on that last one, it said, let me know if I can help. That's the phrase you ought to be using. Well, I'm gonna say that to Cameron about textbooks.
Yes, right. Sure.
Let me know if I can help.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
For the fall. I'm going to do it for the fall. I commit to that.
So these phases, you're going to have some overlap with these phases. And you guys know, with children, they're different. They're going to demand different amounts of flexibility in how you handle them. Try to be as flexible as possible. Make a commitment to do your part. And what does that look like for us? Well, our part is praying for our children, praying for ourselves as we navigate this. As we talked about in Amos 3:3, be together and be in agreement with what you're going to do. Be consistent as much as possible. If you make a mistake, let them know, I made a mistake. But the most important thing is to trust God in the midst of all of this stuff, because he is there working in us, through us, working for our children. And it's amazing when he does give you, you know, a little bit of glimpse of the work that he's doing. And just remember that God is faithful, and he will always do his part.
Okay, so one last story. In this rebellion area that we dealt with, I'm driving along in my car, and I'm listening to the radio, and the song, God Bless the Broken Road That Led Me Straight to You, is on the radio. And I'm singing along, and I'm feeling very thankful and joyful about my broken road that led me to the Lord, and thinking about my bad choices, thinking about things that were, you know, done to me that I had no choice in, but all the things that led me to Jesus, to give my will up to Jesus. And so I'm sitting there feeling pretty joyful and thanking the Lord, and it's one of those few times when I felt like you could almost audibly hear God. And he said, how, Terry, how can you be so thankful about your broken road and you're so frustrated and mad at me and upset and stressed about the broken road your son is on? I've got him no matter where he is. So that was very encouraging to me. And I wanted to share a prayer, a prayer for all of us as parents. Lord Jesus, when you were here on earth, you showed tender love for children. You protected them and defended them. May we be as dedicated and devoted to our children. When we begin to worry and be anxious for them, teach us to talk to you about our fears. Lord, you love our children even more than we do. You want what is best for them even more than we do. We can trust you to take care of our children and to guide us as we seek to be godly parents. Amen.
Just a closing thought, two things. One is, I came across a verse recently in Acts chapter 11, verse 17. It says, so if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? And that's the part I want you to think about. Who was I to stand in God's way? And what I mean by that is, as our children begin to get into some challenging times, for us, a natural reaction is we want to step in and rescue. We want to throw money at it or whatever we think we might need to do. And sometimes I think we're getting in God's way. I think we have looked back and seen that we got in God's way. It's hard to discern, you know, because as parents you want to be proactive, but how proactive do I need to be? This is just an area of discernment, because it, you know, we put obstacles in God's way if we continue to step in there. And especially as they get older, that's what I'm really talking about. When you get into these phase 3 and phase 4 is where we can really maybe begin to get in God's way. And again, I think that, you know, we're a blended family, so this has been helpful to us. I think it can be helpful as a single parent as well. We know that we've just kind of scratch the surface with this. We hope there's been some value to you. If you have any thoughts, you have any questions, you know, we would love to spend some time with you and talk about any phase that you're in or a phase that you might be coming up to. And in the words of Forrest Gump, that's about all we know about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.